Oh, welcome into a daily editorial here on the KE Report. I am kicking off today chatting with Eric Wetterling. He is the founder and editor of the Hedgeless Horseman website. And as Eric and I usually do, we are going to follow up on some of the companies that he is a shareholder of and companies that, well, some of them I'm actually a shareholder of as well, starting with Novo Resources and following up on the interview that I had with Quentin Henny at the start of this week on Tuesday. If anybody missed that, I recommend listening to that interview where we talk about the recent sorting results. But Eric, one of the concepts that Quentin and I chatted about was fine grain gold. We're still waiting on these results, but it does sound like they should be coming out pretty soon. And it also sounds like this could be a crucial driver for future share price moves, because if they can prove out the consistency of fine grain gold, it really brings into play different mining techniques. Can you please share some of your thoughts on the recent news that Novo had and now looking ahead to results for fine grain gold?
Sure, Corey. I mean, it's a real game changer for the game changer in my mind. It's still just potential, of course. It needs to be proven. But I mean, before that interview, basically, what we knew was that, okay, the fine gold is probably a small part of the overall gold content. So in that case, it would be, of course, more important to find the nugget whales and stuff like that, which has erratic, and some gold nuggets are huge. So that's the erratic factor, and the market obviously doesn't like stuff like that. And then it becomes also a problem that there might be some large amounts of waste while mining if you don't hit that. So, I mean, that's a technical risk, obviously, because if you mine something that has no nuggets, in that case, that would be waste and it would cost money. But, I mean, after hearing Quinton, it sounds like the nugget clusters will be focused in the swales, depressions, and whatever. But on the shoulders of this, which is, I guess, a bit higher up where these gravels aren't that deep, there should be fine gold. And we know that they went out and tested or panned some area right between Vomerina and Egina, and that had fine gold. So, okay, we know it's a few kilometers out, so it's fine gold, and usually fine gold is obviously not that nuggety per se. So, I mean, if you have fine gold there, there's probability there's fine gold around that area. And the way they're talking now, it sounds like, okay, this might be a major part of the whole thing. So, I mean, in a best case scenario, due to technology and stuff like that, our costs would be low enough that we might be able to profitably mine, let's say, 0.2 grams per cubic meter or whatever. And if the fines themselves, where you don't have these nugget clusters, which is obviously will be much higher grade and much more profitable, but if there are large parts of the areas that around these nugget clusters where the swale isn't that deep, or I don't know if it's even would be described as a swale, but anyway, if that can be profitably mined, I mean, then that changes a lot of things. First of all, I mean, then we have disseminated gold, and I mean, the technical risk would go way down because, I mean, if there's a small chance that you will be mining waste, then there's a good chance that you will be mining ore, and that means making money. So, I mean, this might be, you know, a really big thing for Novo, and I think that also obviously opens up a much larger area, because I mean, due to how gravity works and stuff like that, I mean, these fine gold particles will be obviously disseminated and flushed backwards and forwards, and more widely spread, if you know what I mean. In contrast to these 86 gram nuggets, I mean, they won't move as much as microscopic gold. So, I mean, it's left to be seen if we can make it work, because as far as I understand, it might require some water. So, I mean, if that becomes a problem, I don't know. But if we can mine this whole thing, then that obviously will mean that the mine life will be huge, and that the biggest, you know, challenge would probably be heritage clearance and stuff like that, permitting risks. But if they get costs low enough, I mean, this whole thing might be a deposit with varying margins, depending if you are into the swale with nugget clusters or if you're up at the shoulders with probably lower grade but disseminated fine gold.
Yeah, well, the thing is, we just don't know, A, the economics of this project yet, and B, what this fine-grained gold looks like. So, again, we're still waiting for some of these results to come out, and that should provide a bit more light and insights for investors. But also, if we look at the chart of Novo here, it's gotten quite boring, you could say. The weekly Bollinger Bands are at the lowest levels that we have seen ever since the whole Karratha project came into light. So really, the least volatility we've seen ever since 2017. And that has been on, too, the back of news. The company has been coming out with pretty consistent news, and I think doing quite a good job telling the market the progress that they're making and what they're trying to do to understand just how they can mine this project. It sounds like you think that if we could get some good news out of the fine grain gold, that could be a big driver to the stock. But just address the relative boringness, the trading range that Novo has been trading in on the Venture Exchange, down from about $2 to the upper part of the range at just under $3. It's been, again, a tight trading range, but we have been getting a lot of news. So how are you balancing that out?
Well, I mean, as you say, we've gotten a lot of news in the last 6 months or so. And the first time we dropped into this 2 to 3.5 range was back in, I think, October 2018. And I think we've gotten over 10 news releases since then. So, I mean, to me, it looks like Novo is a pressure cooker at the moment, because the market has been refusing to discount almost any news releases for the last couple of months, like the Sumitomo joint venture, which is obviously a big deal, ore sorting results, which were out of this world, the possibility of dry processing Egina, which was the biggest hurdle, or it used to be. And then we get this about a potentially big fine gold component, which, I mean, a lot of the naysayers, their biggest issue is the nuggety nature. So, okay, if we have a fine gold system which grades on par with the typical global average for alluvial mines, which is like 0.2, 0.3 grams per ton or something, I mean, it's obviously material, but the market is refusing to price it in as of yet, and the shorts have gone up to a record high counts. I mean, we have the possibility of a short covering rally with a market that is, as you said, the tightest it's been since 2017. So, I mean, someday all this news might start to get discounted. And I mean, just from a personal perspective, when I look at it, it's like, okay, if you have a bunch of positive news releases which aren't discounted, what way would the risk be? Would it be to the upside or the downside? I mean, it's not like we've gotten a lot of negative news and the stock has held up. No, we've gotten a lot of good news, even though it's not yet proven, but that's not the point, because, I mean, potential should be discounted. I mean, it shouldn't go from not discounting anything until it's a fact, and then, you know, you got this big gap up for everything. That's not how markets work. So, I mean, the potential has been getting better and better over the last months, and the market hasn't reacted. So I think this is going to break soon. I don't know if it will be because of some step-out trenches, fine gold component, news about Beaton's Creek going towards production. I don't know what, but I know something will break it, and then I think it will start gaining momentum, because as is usual, people love an appreciating share price, and then because it goes up, people start to believe that it's all of a sudden more valuable, even though, I mean, we've already gotten the news. So, I mean, I think the share price should be higher already, but that's how, I mean, psychology works, that people will get more bullish as it starts going up, because then they think it's more valuable, and for some reason that the opportunity is getting better, even though, I mean, there are a ton of news info out there. Noah is still my by far largest holding, so I mean I'm biased, and they are a sponsor and all that, but I mean I think we're in a pressure cooker, so I'm just waiting, and it seems like the forums are just waiting as well, that the shatter has been going down, and I would say peak despondency, and that's usually a sign for some interesting times ahead.
Okay, just another quick comment. In full disclosure, I am a shareholder. Novo is a sponsor on our website as well. But I feel like everything we've talked about has been looking to the upside here, which, fair enough, I can see why you would be encouraged, and I'm encouraged too. But there are also a lot of haters out there and people that, in a sense, almost don't want this project to work. I'm in the mentality that anytime we can get a good discovery and a good project, it brings more eyes into the sector. But what kind of downside do we need to be worried about here? Maybe what happens if we don't see good results for the fine grain gold, or something else happens? We should lay out maybe the downside risk here as well. Can you share some of what you're concerned about?
Sure. I mean, the obvious thing would be, first of all, processing, because it's an unconventional way they're going about it, that using basically only ore sorting. So it's technology based. And as far as I know, there's no mine that's basically only using sorting for it. I mean, that's a double-edged sword, obviously, because it might become one of the highest margin mines in the world, or it might not work. And in that case, we would need water. And the Pilbara is a very dry place. So if it doesn't work at all, then it obviously becomes a huge obstacle. Okay, how do we get this gold? I mean, judging by what Quinton said, he said that about 20% of the lag gravels would be fine gold, or fines with fine gold. And in that case, that means that, let's say we only get to, we have to use water as an extraction. Okay, then 20% of that could be extracted with water, and that may be possible. So, I mean, there's degrees of challenges and setbacks and stuff like that. And for example, for Beaton's Creek, I mean, that's also a pretty unconventional deposit. It's nuggety and stuff like that, but it's close to surface. Much of it is oxidized, and we know there's a mill nearby, but let's say no deal was made or something like that, then we would have to build our mill, and that obviously takes years and money, and that would mean probably dilution, depending if something good would happen before that at Egina, obviously. And I mean, Commonwealth, for example, that's we know it's nuggety, it's hard rock, it's probably not drillable, even though I think they have means to basically track it beneath the surface with geochemistry or whatever. So I mean, there's a lot of obstacles, no doubt about it, and if nothing of it works, then I mean, this investment wouldn't go the way we hoped, obviously, and we would lose money, potentially all of the money in due time. But at the same time, that also should be compared to the unconventional upside. Because, I mean, if Egina works, I don't know, maybe thousands of square kilometers would work. If Commonwealth works, we know Commonwealth isn't the only mineralized Mount Roe package. I mean, there are Merindis finding it in Bellary Dome. They've been mined in the east, so we know that it's semi-basin wide at least, but we don't know if it's how many economic deposits it would have. But I mean, that's the unconventional upside. And the same for Beaton's Creek and Hardy Formation. Like, Cairo's been finding a lot of gold that's probably tied to Hardy Formation in the central Pilbara. So, I mean, we got three systems, and all might be semi-basin wide. And the risk we're taking is that these unconventional systems can't be conventionally mined or mind in a commercial sense, but again, that's the bet, right? We need one system to work. If none works and there are obstacles at each, then look out below.
Fair enough. You know what? There are always obstacles when it comes to mining, and that is why I think Novo is taking this very methodical type of approach and taking their time while still moving the project forward. But you know what? There are a lot of people that don't want this project to work, and there are a lot of people that do want this project to work. I'm just curious to see if it will work. I'm hoping for the guys, and that's why I keep on bringing Quentin on the show to explain what work they are doing and also having these discussions with you. I think it does help to at least shine some light on the overall project. If anybody has any further comments regarding Novo, please comment below or email me directly and I can share those with Eric. In the meantime, Eric, good chatting with you. I'm going to post a link to that interview that I had with Quentin right below here if anybody missed that. And again, hey, it's just a couple shareholders giving some insights into what we are looking for this overall project and the overall company. Eric, thanks for your time today. Have a great rest of your week.
Thanks, Corey. The same.